blessed privilege again to have our dear brother Stuart Sowers to serve us. Brother Stuart has been a rich blessing to us in the past. We've enjoyed his fellowship, and we're looking forward to a rich blessing at this hour. Brother Stuart, as we said, was going to use the subject of the hymn that we used this morning, The Easy Yoke, and so we're going to turn the platform over to Brother Stuart at this time, asking the Lord's blessing upon him. Brother Stuart.
Thank you, Brother Jim. First, I want to bring you the love of Sister Virginia and all the Phoenixville, Pennsylvania ecclesia, and also Brother David and Sister Marcia Hawk. Ask especially that we bring you their love. And of course, Jonathan, the littlest Hawk, was noncommittal. But if he could have spoken, I'm sure he would have sent his love. Our lesson is the easy yoke. Or a subheading might be, take my yoke. The title is taken from Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 29 and 30. I'll read those verses. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden. That the thoughts we will express will supplement the lesson that Brother Jarman think that these words of Jesus contain several lessons, and the one that is most familiar to us can be expressed by paraphrasing and expanding just a little on these two verses. And this most familiar lesson relates to this type of yoke. That's a yoke whereby two are pulling the load. The strong top bar fits over the animal's neck and shoulders, and the two bows underneath are called oxbows, secure the yoke to the animal. And this familiar lesson is built around that type of yoke. And paraphrasing what Jesus says, it suggests that our Lord is saying, I invite you to take my yoke and share it with me. Become my yoke fellow. You'll find that the yoke is easy and the burden seems light. And this is because I am yoked together with you to help bear the burden when the going is rough and the load becomes too heavy for you. This is the usual lesson we get from these verses. And it's a lesson based certainly on scriptures. It's a truth. It's in harmony with other New Testament scriptures, which make clear that none of the little flock, including the apostles, could make their calling and election sure unless they became yoke fellows with Jesus for the entire walk of the narrow way. We would like to consider another lesson based upon these scriptures, looking at it from a little different viewpoint. But in so doing, we don't want you to set aside this lesson we have just spoken of. That is the truth. Just add, if you feel it fits, this other lesson to your list. And the lesson that we want to bring you isn't based upon this type of yoke. There's another yoke. And we call it a people yoke. That's the yoke, and that's the people, in case you can't make out my drawings. The people yokes have been used by mankind for a long time. And this beam that you see is placed across the shoulders and extends out. And down from it are strong cords that are attached to the burden. It's very helpful. If you had to carry 2 5-gallon cans of water for several miles over a rough trail, you would appreciate that type of yoke designed to fit your shoulders. When the bearer bends his knees, he can rest the load on the ground. When he straightens up, he takes the burden and he goes on. The pressure, if the yoke is properly designed, if it's an easy yoke, doesn't put any pressure on a vertebrae. It is designed that the load is borne by the strong neck and shoulder muscles. Now Jesus, who was the carpenter's son, no doubt learned to build yokes. Most of his illustrations he's had experience with. Perhaps not only yokes for animals, which I'm sure he must have built and designed well so that they were easy upon the animal, but perhaps he built some people yokes too. Now, we want to paraphrase these two verses we just read again, and this time we'll do it a little differently, and we suggest that this is what the Lord is saying. He's saying, I invite you to take my yoke, to take the yoke that I have taken, and learn of me. That's the key point to our lesson. And learn of me, for I am meek. The yoke that I have taken is an easy yoke for me, and the burden attached to it is a light burden. And the burden attached to it will seem light only if you learn of me, only if you become meek and lowly of heart as I am. In the time remaining, these are some of the questions. Easy mean? And what does burden mean? Being the ones we read, we note that the invitation is to those who labor because much of the energy of fallen man, from Adam on, has been devoted to bringing his fellow human beings into bondage of one kind or another. Little wonder that man doesn't like it. Since our Lord returned in 1874 with a shout of awakening, the cry of break the yoke, give me liberty, has spread to all nations, and it's becoming more intense each day. And how does fallen man bring his fellow man into bondage? Well, by using force is one way, by using enticement is another, or by fear. Enticement and fear are two special tools of the adversary that he has well used. And this brings us to the consideration of our Lord's statement to take my yoke. And here there is no thought of force. It's an invitation. Certainly there is no deception. because he reminded all who would take his yoke to sit down and count the cost. Don't be deceived about what you are entering into. His words are a simple invitation. Take my yoke. We know there are some things relative to the high calling that we do not take. For example, we do not take the robe of righteousness. The Heavenly Father doesn't lay out robes and let anyone who wants to come pick one up and put it on. This is placed upon us by the Heavenly Father. And we have Romans 8:33 and Isaiah 61:10 to verify that from Scripture. Justification is a decision that God makes. And based upon our response to the drawing of God and His truth and His overruling providences. Take means a free will decision. Another scripture that carry this thought, for example, we become disciples of Jesus of our own free will. We take up the cross of our own free will. These are not duty decisions, and they are not fear decisions. No one enters the straight gate and the narrow way because it is their duty. And no one enters the straight gate and the narrow way as a result of fleeing from the fires of hell that might have put them in a position to be drawn into it. But they don't run fearing hell into the straight gate. How did Jesus take his yoke? And what was his yoke? The words that the Apostle Paul quotes in Hebrews 10:7, and he's quoting from Psalms 40, verse 8, express the full meaning of the yoke that Jesus took. Then said I, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. That was Jesus taking the yoke that the Heavenly Father had designed. A yoke means servitude. And the yoke of Jesus was serving God. When our Lord said, lo, I come, it meant, I take this yoke. I come of my own free will to serve thee. And we can think of other scriptures that corroborate that thought. God did not place this yoke upon Jesus. Our Lord desired to serve God. He delighted to do the will of the Heavenly Father. He took the yoke. And the next pertinent question then would be, how do we take the yoke of Jesus? Well, we do precisely what Jesus did. We go to the Heavenly Father, and we say, I come to do thy will, O God. God does not place this yoke upon us. We take it of our own free will. It's understood, of course, that we can go to the Father only after we have come to know Jesus. And more than that, it is understood that we can come to know Jesus only if we are being drawn of the Father. And then only if we respond to the Father's joy. And this is the rule for the calling out of a people for his name, and it's never broken. When Jesus said in verse 29, take my yoke, he added the phrase, and learn of me. Now, why did he say that? What does this phrase, learn of me, have to do with taking his yoke? See, when we interpret the words, take my yoke, as an invitation to share a yoke, that other kind of yoke, to share the yoke, and become a yoke fellow with him, then we interpret verse 30 to mean that the yoke is easy because we are sharing it with Jesus. And that the burden seems to be light because our Lord is the primary burden bearer, and when the road becomes heavy. Nothing wrong with that thought. Don't cast that thought aside. But in our lesson today, we suggest that the phrase, learn of me, has a direct bearing upon the yoke being easy and the burden being light. And that is the focus of our lesson. What did Jesus mean when he said, "My yoke is easy for me"? What did he mean when he said, "My burden is light"? Think back over his 3.5 years. Was it easy for him to endure the contradictions of sinners? He wept. And he didn't weep for joy. He wept out of sympathy for those who sorrowed at the death of Lazarus. And surely there were other occasions when the anguish of his disciples cut deep into his own heart. In Gethsemane, we remember that last night, Jesus said to Peter and James and John, after he had led them away into the garden, he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Clearly from our Lord's own words, this moment was a time of severe trial for him. There was nothing easy, there was nothing light about it. The experience was, by Peter's definition, a fiery trial for our Lord. One of many fiery trials that Jesus endured in doing the will of the Father. Was it a light matter for our Lord to be nailed to the cross and endure that pain for 6 hours, even unto death? How do we harmonize Jesus saying, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light"? One answer might be, we might say, well, perhaps Jesus was talking in relative terms, as Paul did, for example, in 2 Corinthians 4:17, where Paul says, "Our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh out a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And Paul was comparing our experiences this side the veil with eternity of glory. But we don't believe that's what our Lord had in mind. He was not comparing the 3.5 years of his ministry to an eternity of glory. What did he mean? Well, we need to consider the meaning of the two words used here by Jesus. The word easy and the word burden. First, the meaning of easy. What does that mean? Sometimes we use the word in this sense. We see someone doing something and we watch them a while and we say, "Well, I think I could do that. That looks easy." Well, that's not what Jesus meant. Or sometimes when the kids come in and slam the door, we say, "Take it easy." That's a little closer to the meaning of the Greek word that Jesus used here in this text. But we don't have to guess at the meaning. We have 3 good authorities. We can ask Peter and Paul and Luke to use this Greek word in a sentence so that we can understand the meaning. And if we go to Peter, Peter will say, "Well, read 1 Peter 2:3. So we'll read 1 Peter 2:3. First Peter 2, verse 3. "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." The word "gracious" here is the same Greek word that our Lord used in his statement. The Greek word "gracious" is translated the Greek word "krasitos." That's not how a Greek would pronounce it, but that's how Philadelphia might. The Greek word is "gracious." And if we ask Paul, Paul would say, "Well, now read Ephesians 4, verse 32. So we'll read Ephesians 4, verse 32. Incidentally, this is the best way we have to define words. Just to see how the writer used them in the context. It's better than saying what Strong said, or Young said, or Zondervan's Bible Dictionary said. See what the writer said. Paul would say in Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Be ye kind one to another. Kind is the word that Jesus used, the Greek word. And if we went to Luke would say, we'll read Luke 6:35. Love your enemies and do good and lend and hope for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, referring to the Heavenly Father, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. The word kind here is the same Greek word Christos. Then what our Lord is saying, what Jesus is saying there when he says, "My yoke that I have taken of my own free will is a kind yoke. It's not an unpleasant yoke. It isn't harsh. It doesn't chafe me. It fits my shoulders. My Heavenly Father has designed it and built it. It's an easy yoke." That's what Jesus was saying. Now let's consider the meaning of the word burden. He says, "My burden is light." The Greek word, not the English. Return to Galatians, the 6th chapter. Note verse 2. Galatians 6:2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now that certainly is a valid statement. And that is a principle. We should bear one another's burdens. And the word burden here suggests the thought of something that's heavy, a load that's pulling down strongly. A heavy thing. But if we go on down to the 5th verse in that chapter, notice what it says. "Every man shall bear his own burden." And here we have a contradiction. Verse 2, Paul says, "Bear ye one another's burden." Verse 5 says, "Every man shall bear his own burden." Well, the answer to that is that it's two different words. Without going into specifically what the Greek word is itself, which my pronouncement wouldn't help, the first word in verse 2 meant something literally heavy. But the word in verse 5, where it says, "Every man shall bear his own burden," suggests the thought of an invoice, a bill of lading. The word is porteon. And Strong's concordance suggests the literal meaning is an invoice, and especially as it expresses the thought of a task or a service, not just a weight. And what is an invoice? Well, we know that the agreement between a shipper and a trucker is in the form of an invoice or a bill of lading. And the trucker doesn't have the option of, if he has trouble on the way with part of what's one of the items on his invoice, he doesn't have the option of throwing some of it overboard because he's having difficulty. His agreement is that he will deliver what is on that invoice, that porteon, that burden. His yoke The trucker's yoke is to serve the shipper. His burden is the invoice, the bill of lading, that lists that which he has agreed to do. We think the light burden of Jesus was our Lord's agreement to do the details of the Heavenly Father's will concerning him from Jordan to Calvary. Jesus, in all of that 3.5 years, never struggled with the decision to carry out the details of his invoice, of his Father's will. Whatever it was his Father willed was his burden for that 3.5 years, he never struggled with it. It was an easy burden. He accepted it readily. His trial in Gethsemane, for example, was not a hesitancy to carry out the will of the Father. Can't take time to go into that. But we think his trial in Gethsemane was something entirely different. He carried out what God had planned. The Jew had a particular burden for Theon, the law of Moses. And Paul said in Romans 7:10 that law that was ordained to life, he says, I found was unto death. He wasn't able to carry out that. And Jesus, speaking in Matthew 23:4, the Pharisees, who sat in Moses' seat, he says, they lay heavy burdens, heavy invoices upon men, grievous to be borne. But he says, they don't bother to touch it. In other words, they added to the law many things that for the people to do, but he says the Pharisees don't want to carry it out. Now this leads us to go back for a moment to Matthew 11:28. That's the verse before the one you read for a text. The one before it says, take my yoke. Who did Jesus invite to take his yoke? And we note that the verse before that, the invitation speaks to all those who are weary, who labor and are heavy laden. Now I know what that phrase reminds me of. Perhaps it doesn't you, but it does me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think of the millions. Oh, it's more than that. There are 4 billion people on the earth, so we can call it in billions, who are physically weary, who are bone weary, who are emotionally weary. I think of the statement on the Statute of Liberty somewhat that says, give me your tired and your poor and your hungry. The millions of earth that are bewildered and confused and unable to escape the environment that is very depressing. But our Lord was not talking specifically to that. Perhaps there were some there who were. But that wasn't what he was addressing. He wasn't talking to those specifically who were physically weary and heavy laden. Jesus was at Capernaum when he made this statement. And the people of that city were not impressed by the miracles he performed. Remember that from other statements, or the words that he spoke. But he knew, however, that there were some there were sincere and honest who were laboring to keep the law. And they were weary. And they were heart weary because they could not keep the law, just as Paul said. The law, the invoice, the bill of lading, the burden of Moses was not light. And especially so when it was added to by the hypocritical Pharisees. There's an article, page 2625 of the reprints. It's very good to read on this point. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Talking to us. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is the invoice. This is the forteon. the burden that goes with the yoke of Jesus. And certainly not the least of these is the new commandment that Jesus expressed, that ye love one another even as I have loved you. Now we have to separate here experiences from the commandments, from our invoice, from our burden that we agreed to do it. Jesus never said that in carrying out your will, the will of the Father, that you would have no difficult experiences. He didn't say that. Jesus had difficult experiences. But the experiences are not the burden. The difficult experiences are the results of carrying out. And the experiences for us, as it were for our Lord, were provided for an exercise and a testing. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Those are experiences that went with the burden that Jesus readily agreed to accept. Let's ask ourselves about the commandments. Do you find that his commandments, those that he said to keep, if you love me, keep my commandments, do you find that his commandments, his burden is light? Is the yoke easy? Do you recall what John said in 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 5? Or rather, the 5th chapter, verses 2 and 3. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. They are not a heavy burden. This brings us to the key point of our lesson, that the yoke will be easy and the burden will be light only if we learn of him. And only if we become meek and lowly of heart. Let us think about this people yoke for a moment. It's designed to be placed across the shoulders. And if it's an easy yoke, if it's a gracious yoke, if it's a kind yoke, if it doesn't shake, when the weight of the load attached to it, it will bear upon the stronger shoulder muscles. It won't press on a vertebrae, for example, and cause pain. Now, our Heavenly Father designed our yoke. We are certain he is perfect in design. But what would happen if on our shoulders there should develop some bumps? Let's say bumps of pride. Well, the answer is, of course, the yoke would no longer fit. It would no longer be an easy yoke. A bump, be it a pimple or a boil, is an evidence of infection, of impurity. And should we develop, figuratively speaking, bumps on our shoulder as a result of the infection of pride, and this is why we suggested perhaps our thoughts could supplement the lesson of Brother John, should we develop on our shoulder these bumps of pride, they might not be noticed until called upon to bear the burden attached to the yoke. Normally, we really don't go around looking at ourselves to find bumps of pride. If we're vain enough, we might look for blemishes and so on. Many years ago, quite a few years ago, in the days of my youth, We used to ride horses a lot, my friends and I. And part of the good, clean fun we had once in a while was when we found a burr, one of these hard, dry burrs with sharp stickers. And when the friend wasn't looking and he was dismounted, we might slip that burr between the saddle and the horse. Now, a horse's hide is pretty tough, and the horse doesn't bother him until the rider steps into the saddle and puts pressure upon it until the burden gets there. And then the horse behaves very erratically. We might not notice bumps of pride on our shoulders unless we're called upon to carry out our invoice. And when we do that, for sure, these bumps of pride will make our yoke chafe. It will give us pain. It will not be an easy yoke. There's another expression used for the world. They say, that man has a chip on his shoulder. That means he's, everything he seems to be antagonistic against it. He's against it. Now, of course, Bible students don't have chips on their shoulders. Or do they? Certainly there would be only one thing worse, and that would be to have a chip on both shoulders. For if we do, the yoke that the Heavenly Father designed for us to carry out our invoice, our burden, our agreement, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Whatever thy will is for me in the days ahead, I want to accept it readily. But if we have chips on our shoulders, if we have bumps of pride, it won't be an easy yoke, and the burden will not seem light. So, and finally, just in summary, the key point to our lesson, it is an easy yoke if we learn of him, if we learn of Jesus, if we become like him. The more that we can develop the mind of Christ, the easier will become the yoke. If we can eliminate any bumps of pride or any chips on our shoulder. Let's read again the text. 1 John 5:2-3. For this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They are not grievous. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Stewart, for that beautiful lesson on the easy yoke. Again, brethren, we are coming now to our lunch hour, and we would ask that you share the lunch hour with us at this time. We're going to have the same arrangements that we've been having for the last number of days. And those of you that may be going right after lunch as a Chicago class would like to thank you for coming, and we appreciated your fellowship here. Sometimes we don't always get a chance to greet you as much as we'd like, but we thank you for coming and we appreciate your fellowship at this convention. And Brother Stewart will lead us in a word of prayer, also asking a blessing upon the meal.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we hallow thy precious name. In the name of Jesus, we come to thee at this time to again thank you for thy kindness in all ways. We pray, Father, for thy continued guidance and help us keep our hearts aright, that the yoke we take may be an easy yoke and the burden seem light. Continue with us these remaining hours of convention, and we ask it all again and give thee thanks for the temporal provisions that we are about to partake of, in Jesus' name.